and double checking. There's a person that just got admitted to the room. I'm going to unmute your microphone. Can you please state your name for the room, please? The phone number ending in 255. If you can please state your name for the room.
Hi, this is Michael Bates.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Mr. Bates. One moment, please. Okay, so I would like to call to order the Public Safety Committee meeting for January 27th. We are calling to order at 6:05 p.m. And we do have a special guest this evening to conduct the Pledge of Allegiance. I would like to call upon Ms. Molly Wren.
Place your right hand over your heart. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republics for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Great job. Thank you, Ms. Molly Wren. Okay, I would now like to proceed with the roll call. I'm going to unmute the microphones of our committee members at this time. And you are all authorized to unmute your microphones as well using unmute on your device or star six if you are using a telephone. So I'm going to start with committee member Bates. One moment, Mr. Bates, you can hit unmute or dial star six. Perfect, go ahead, sir.
I'm here.
Committee member McKino?
Here.
Committee member Shaver?
Here.
Committee member Torres?
Here.
Thank you so much. I would like to now proceed to item four on the agenda, which is introduction of guests. So this evening, we have me as a host. I'm the city clerk. We also have Director James Wren, who's the Public Safety Services Director. We have in attendance Captain Cruz Alday, who's our Chief of Police with the Orange County Sheriff's Department. And then we also have a special guest, Damian Fonseca. He's our Outreach Coordinator. Thank you very much for that. We'll now move on to oral communications from the public. We did not receive any public e-comments, nor do we have anybody in the room to speak. Item six, consent calendar, we have none. Item seven, unfinished business, we have none. Item eight, new business. We have item A, update and discussion regarding steps taken to address homelessness within the city of Stanton and the resources being offered by the city. I would like to tag in on this item. It was also brought up by committee member Torres at the last meeting. He had asked to agendize discussion about what resources are being offered to our homeless population within the city. So this item kind of addresses that request from Mr. Torres as well. So I will now open up the mic to Director Wren, and your microphone is live, sir.
Thank you very much, Ms. Vasquez. So what we have here is, and it looks like it'll most likely be a standing item. Obviously, the homelessness issue is a something we deal with daily. Obviously, Captain Alday and his crew, as well as my team, are literally working on this every single day. So one of the steps that we have taken for a couple of different reasons, first and foremost is to get those who are willing to accept services and want to find a path out of their situation. We want to be there for them and be able to offer and connect them with the services that are out there. And then secondly, which we discussed briefly last meeting, is, you know, as part of Martin v. Boise, we do have to offer services in order to enforce any anti-camping or trespassing on public property. In order to do that, we have to offer services first. So the step that we decided to take as a city was to create the outreach coordinator position. So Damian Fonseca came to us from PATH and has been with us. We just completed his first quarterly report, which means he's been here a little over 3 months. So with that, I'll introduce Damian to give you a brief overview of what he has been doing for our city. So go ahead, Damian.
And then real quickly, I'm sorry, Damian, all committee members have the option to unmute their microphones and ask questions at any time. I do not need to unmute your microphone for you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, everyone. Good evening. My name is Damon Fonseca. I'm the outreach coordinator for the city of Stanton. I want to say thank you for allowing me to be part of this discussion today. I'm sure many of you have many questions for which I am here to try to answer. I want to begin by explaining our approach to addressing homelessness in Stanton, which is to connect individuals who are experiencing homelessness and link them to the most appropriate resources. These resources include, but are not limited to, shelter, mental health, support, access to benefits, and combating substance use. We do this approach by using the harm reduction philosophy, for which focuses on a non-judgmental approach. While engaging each individual, the goal is to provide them with resources, referrals, and other supportive services that are available at any given time. Besides that, we do collaborate with partnering agencies such as CityNet, Illumination Foundation, Mercy House, PATH, OC Behavioral Health Services, and the Sheriff's Department to help homeless individuals navigate the system. So in a nutshell, we have the capacity to assist homeless families and individuals, whether it be through collaborative efforts with partnering agencies or utilizing other resources, such as relocating individuals back to their home across the county, country, wherever it may be, or providing families in it with like motel assistance to prevent them from sleeping on the street. With that said, I can say we have successfully placed 3 individuals into supportive mental health programs with full service partnerships, helped 2 individuals gain employment and stay employed, and have placed 45 individuals into interim housing facilities. Those who are not familiar with the term interim housing, it means a place where individuals can go for a short length of time, leading to permanent housing. This includes, but is not limited to, bridge housing, crisis housing, recuperative care, recovery bridge housing, and of course, shelters. We continue to provide individuals with COVID-19 resources, and we assist them with signing up if and when requested. Another thing that I wanted to bring to everyone's attention was that I know there has been an increase of inflow of individuals in the city of Stanton, but that's kind of happening all over Orange County because of COVID. Throughout Orange County, shelters have been placed on a lockdown because of COVID outbreaks within the shelters. They're working on combating that at this current time. They do have shelters are currently working on opening up again and accepting referrals. So within the next couple of weeks, we will see a decrease of individuals off the street and then them going back into shelter because, you know, people need a quarantine and all that good stuff. So currently right now, the Fullerton Navigation Center is operating as a COVID-19 quarantine site. Our Buena Park Navigation Center is on lockdown because of quarantine, but should be opening up within the next couple of days. The Salvation Army as well, they were on lockdown at the beginning of this month, but they are opening back up sometime within the next couple of days, along with the Courtyard in Santa Ana, one of the biggest shelters in Orange County, was on lockdown, but is now opening back up. But they are in the transition of passing on their facility to PATH, People Assisting the Homeless, to a new shelter, which is gonna have approximately 400 and something beds. So that's gonna also help with referrals and referring individuals into shelter and all that good stuff later down the line.
Thank you, Damien. Obviously a little bit of a bird's eye view, not to put anybody on the spot, but before we open for questions, Captain Alday, is there anything you would like to share related to your crew's approach and some of the challenges we're dealing with?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, we have a task force, the 2 deputies, the community enhancement team, and they have one day completely dedicated for just outreach alone. It's usually on Wednesdays along with CityNet, and they usually try to assist them in trying to do the outreach. Like I said, they go around throughout the city, give them support. And again, we try to offer the same thing because our first method is obviously doing that, which is giving them some sort of outreach. Damien, I think they've worked with you as well. I think going forward, we should definitely set up some sort of game plan to be able to put you guys together, Damien, so that way collectively we could work together and see if putting our forces together, we could do a better job. But as far as us working too with the North Orange County Public Safety Task Force, Damien highlighted, the navigation center, for a period there, it was just COVID only, but we've been able to place at least 28 beds available. We've been able to do 9 requests, and from November, we were able to place 7 clients there. So it's a never ending process, but we're together, we're tackling it. So that's all I got.
Excellent. Thank you. And I think one of the point Damien made, and kind of a term that we use on a day-to-day basis, and between Captain Alde, Damien, myself, we essentially are in a position where each individual and each different scenario varies to such a degree that we're essentially triaging each case. The answer to these issues isn't always the same. One thing I do want to point out, a lot of the folks you see on the street, there is a very high refusal of service rate. So when that takes place, it's essentially they are informed of what they can and can't do and move on. They're not required to engage with us. So there are a number of the folks you see on the street on a regular basis that have, I guarantee you, if you've seen them more than twice, that means they've been offered services a dozen times. So there are some of the folks that just refuse the services entirely. Some of the folks you see on the street regularly are actually housed. There's a couple in particular that I'm sure if you've spent any time, you have seen, and they're housed and they go and they have a place to keep shelter at night, and then they're just out on the street all day. So there's kind of a different answer to everything related to this issue. Well, a piece of good news before we kind of open it up. Last night at City Council, there was indication by council members that they actually wanted to add another outreach coordinator. That's a great thing for us in terms of just giving us more coverage throughout the week. Obviously, the same story you'll hear from almost anybody on the city side or the sheriff's side of things. It's what we can do is obviously staffing related. So being able to essentially have, you know, a 6-7 day a week service from an outreach coordinator is going to greatly impact what we're able to do as a city. So with that, I will open if there are any questions from committee members.
Yes, Damien says something about a type of approach that is being used on the homeless population. I was wondering, you know, how it goes, basically.
I think I'll give it the first shot, and then Damien, if you would like to add anything, you are more than welcome. The approach taken by the city, and you know, Damien's a city employee, is that every, and the sheriff's as well, and I've been out there more times than I can count, the initial engagement with members of the homeless community is definitely one of us trying to provide services and help them get to a viable step that lays ahead of them. So we definitely start with offering services. We try and, you know, communicate as much as we can to see what led them to their current predicament. And then back to the term I used, where you triage the situation. I've worked with Damien where the answer to getting someone into a better situation was a bus ticket, where, you know, they had a place to stay, they were welcome there, and they simply got stuck down here, and we'll help bridge that gap. We do have budget for those type of expenses. You know, there's times where it's a substance abuse related. It's just every case is different. So I know Damien, one of the terms he likes to use is a non-judgmental approach. I mean, obviously when you're dealing with a homeless individual, there's been a number of steps that have led them to that. And it's not really of interest to us to give them a hard time or, you know, make them feel bad about their situation. It's more, we look for signs that they want help out of that situation. And those are the services. And the whole point of Damien's position is connecting that person with those services.
And my apologies, just for the digital recording purposes, that question was proposed by committee member Donald Torres. Thank you so much. Damien, did you want to tag on to Director Wren's comments to answer Mr. Torres's questions?
Yes, correct. So we do pretty much triage every individual to see what type of services they might be in need of. You know, sometimes shelter is not just the only answer. Some people might benefit from going into like a rehab facility or just relinking up with family members. I know from experience, one time an individual that was in Stanton just didn't want to get in communication with their family. So they gave me access to do so. And I just reached out, you know, we had a discussion between the family and the individual, and he was more than welcome back. And we got him on the bus and, you know, he made it home. So it's definitely just, you know, trying to get to know the individual and know what they are in need of, instead of just, you know, kind of just pushing like the easiest and fastest solution to ensure that they're getting a more stable type of housing position off of the street.
Are there any other questions from committee members?
Yeah, this is Doug here. I noticed since the since we're able to, as a city, to start enforcing the anti-camping, I noticed that there's definitely a change in pattern of the behavior of the homeless individuals, where at least on the north end up on beach, I see there is, you know, a kind of a contingent of homeless people that tend to kind of straddle the border between Anaheim and Stanton and kind of move back and forth. So it seems like kind of the hot spots have probably shifted over time. So have you observed if that pattern kind of is repeating at other, you know, edges of the city, or if we have any other particular problematic areas in the city?
You're exactly right in terms of, you know, when the victory is the absence of the major encampments that we dealt with through the summer, the secondary effect of that is that not everybody went away. So what I could name the people that you're talking about right at pick your part right there. That's the way you said it perfectly when you said straddle the border. They bounce back and forth. Any place that's out of sight, out of mind. We actually did a significant cleanup on the railroad tracks over the past 2 days, which, you know, that's always going to be our number one spot. Private property out of public view, right in the middle of kind of everything that the homeless folks that reject services, it's kind of right in the middle of where they can get everything they want and need over there. So you're right in terms of we're kind of hitting hot pockets here and there, but it does move because we are moving them. Absent the established encampments, we do, we're playing whack-a-mole a little bit on the enforcement side, but obviously still in the context of those that we contact, we're offering services, but those groups that you're seeing and the clusters of folks, they have historically been entirely service resistant.
Thank you.
Right. Hey, I have a quick regarding those that are actually having some mental issues. So how are those addressed? Because it's very apparent that the individual has some mental issues going on. So are those like referred to some sort of a medical facility?
Captain Alde, not to put you on the spot, could maybe you help community member Bates with the resources on the county side if it turns into a mental health call? I think that's probably the best answer.
Yeah. Obviously, there's three state questions that we'll ask when we approach an individual that we believe might be a danger to themselves or other. And that's basically it. Are they a danger to themselves? And can we definitely prove that? Are they a danger to themselves? And are they gravely disabled, meaning they can't care for themselves? If we could answer yes to any of those three questions, then we could definitely commit them, which means is take them to the hospital. And under the Welfare Institution Code 5150, do a committal hold so they could do an eval on them. But if we can't answer any of those three questions, and like I said, most of these people already know how the game is played, then there's nothing really we could do. We could offer as much as we want, but like Jim was saying, most of them know the program, know the game, and they just say no and they move on, and that's the extent of what we could offer.
Yes, I mean, in a situation, because this is typically what I'll see, and it's often when I'm out over the weekend, and it places not an issue, obviously, just for the homeless person, but for the vehicles that are driving by, because they'll be on a corner, they're kind of talking to themselves, waving, doing, making a different gestures. Then they start walking into the street of oncoming cars. So in a situation like that, should we be calling somebody or what should we be doing?
Yeah, absolutely. Because obviously they become a public safety hazard, not only for the public, but themselves. They're a danger to themselves. So like I said, we'll come make contact with the individual and we'll assess them. And based on the assessment, we'll take appropriate action. But again, a lot of times if we don't see that behavior, it's hard for us to prove because we're going to ask them those three basic questions. And if they answer no, then it's hard for us to enforce that or take them against their will. We'll offer that services and we will tell them, hey, can we transport you to the hospital, get some help? But of course, just like every other service that is being offered to them, they're going to say no. And that's the challenge that we keep having out there.
And Committee Member Bates, you're exactly right. And if you, you know, it's a sad part of this equation, but if you see the, you know, you read the paper and you see the pedestrian fatality on beach, that's typically what's involved. I mean, we've had some that were on video and they're exactly what you're referring to. So it's definitely a dangerous situation, but we would encourage people to call because a lot of times they're at that threshold where the sheriffs can take action to get them, you know, get them in a system. And if not, at least get them where they don't want to be hassled and they'll get off of Beach Boulevard and hopefully get their act together a little bit.
Okay. So should we call like the stand sheriff or?
That would be a dispatch call. You would call. I mean, if you think if they're a direct harm to themselves or an immediate danger, that's a 911 call from my perspective.
Okay.
I would agree on that.
On the corner, and then I'll just be observing them. Next thing I know, there's cars coming because the lights have changed and they start wandering out into oncoming traffic. Some of it's pretty close. So I'm just like, okay, this person isn't going to make it through the day if they're going to continue with this type of behavior.
No, you're exactly right. And to be honest with you, I've made that call to dispatch. In addition to, I pulled a young lady by the back of the pants off of Beach and Chapman on, what day was that? Wednesday. Or no, today's Wednesday. Tuesday. I mean, that's something that definitely, you're exactly right. It's something we deal with. And that's typically, it's either a mental situation or unfortunately, a narcotic-induced state in most cases. So something to be aware of, okay. But definitely you're looking at it the right way.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the information. I appreciate it.
All right. So if there's no more questions, we will move on to 8B, Madam Clerk.
Thank you. Again, just last call for that. I've unmuted the microphones of other committee members. And hearing none, we will move on to item 8B, which is an update and discussion regarding marijuana dispensaries, businesses within the city of Stanton. And I will leave that over to Director Wren.
All right, so this came up last time, just looking for a brief update of where we're at. From the good news is, and we've been in this state for a while, working with the Sheriff's Department and my crew, we've done a real good job. There's no known illegal dispensaries in the city, and there hasn't been for a long time. So we're in a real, real good spot there. As previously discussed, we ended up with 17 closed at one point, and we haven't really had to deal with that all that much. But wanted to give you a brief update as far as the cannabis process or legalizing cannabis. You know, obviously we're still reviewing applications. I am part of that board, so I can't get too far. I almost said into the weeds, and I wasn't trying to be funny. I can't get too deep into that, but we are looking at a process. It's been handled very well by our community development director. So at some point, you know, down the road, there will be legalized cannabis, but they really connected with public safety and with the sheriff's department to make sure it's done in a safe manner. So are there any questions on that? All right.
And let me just make sure and unmute the microphones of our committee members. Go ahead and unmute on your own or dial *6. Are there any questions on the marijuana item? Thank you. Hearing none, we'll move on to item 8C, which is an update and discussion regarding vice gambling and massage establishments within the city of Stanton. Once again, Director Wren.
All right. So this essentially, based on the historic questions of the committee here, we're going to keep this on as a standing item. Working with the sheriff's department as usual, we'll start with the gambling end. That has gone very well. There was a residence in town that has been addressed since our last meeting, and then a couple small operations that were in storefronts, essentially one gambling machine in the back, that type of deal, that when we run it through the sheriff's department, it's not part of a major, you know, syndicate, if you will, and then we'll handle it on the city end. So we've been able to eradicate, during our last time period, we've been able to take care of three separate gambling operations, all of which were relatively small in nature. Two of them, we actually work with the property owner, and they were completely evicted. So those are wins for us. It's something that we keep an eye on. And that's honestly going very well. Since the last time we met, the passage of the updated massage establishment ordinances has gone through. So that's also a big win for us. If you recall, the two primary components of that are that we are counting the day spas as massage establishments. And the key part of that is I was also able to change the city municipal code to put in a provision where they can't be more than 500 feet from each other. So the approach is, if you look at the city as an overlay, where they can be from a zoning perspective, and then where they are as related to each other, we're currently at 9 massage establishments and 4 day spas. That's down from 37 massage establishments and between 10 and 15 day spas. So these steps were taken in order to keep those numbers down. And basically we've essentially locked out most new establishments. I took a look, if you do an overlay of the mapping, there's at most room for 1 or 2 new establishments to come to Stanton, and what that'll do is kind of set us up well moving forward, where we won't return to a situation where we have 20, 25, 35 massage establishments in town. And then obviously the secondary effects of that are caused us problems historically. So I'm really excited that we were able to do this strategically, and it's going to be a good step for us moving forward. So happy to answer any questions on either of those.
One moment, please. I'll go ahead and ask to unmute the microphones of committee members. Are there any questions regarding item 8C? Hearing none, I'd like to move on to item 9, which is written communications, which we have none. Items 10, committee initiated business. Item 10A, committee initiated item, discussion regarding an overview of public information being released by the city via its social media and other various platforms. This item was agendized for discussion at the request of committee member Douglas McKino. So I would like to open that up to you, Mr. McKino. And if you have any questions prepared for us, please feel free to do so now. Go ahead, sir, your microphone is live.
Yep, Doug here. I think last time when we spoke, kind of the general question and some of the points that we were talking about were kind of to assess and figure out what are we doing in terms of getting information out there, because public safety is, yes, we have the efforts of city staff and we have the efforts of the OCSD, but a lot of it's going to be depending on how involved we can get our community and the type of relationship we're going to have with the community and what they're able to do. Some of the questions that I kind of had, if we're looking broadly, we're doing a lot on social media. We're pushing things out via, OCSD's social media, City of Stanton's social media. Do we have a good way or any ideas of how we're going to measure kind of our effectiveness of that reach, especially to those populations in the city that perhaps are not as engaged on social media? Let's say if we're talking about seniors.
So very good question. Obviously, I appreciate you identifying the efforts from a social media standpoint. Definitely a lot of our outreach and connectivity with the senior population is through our senior programming at the city. And I was on a call today talking about how, from a public safety standpoint, the programming and what we can provide to assist the senior community. And at the same time, right now, unfortunately, and it's more impactful to that element of the community as anybody, is we're a little bit on pause from a programming standpoint due to COVID. Things I've done in the past at other cities that have been successful that we want to incorporate here, you know, we're providing a senior lunch and then have, and we've done it in Stanton as well, where you have, you know, someone like myself or Captain Allday come out and connect with the seniors and be able just to create an open forum to communicate directly. We've made a very specific effort in, and the name escapes me because we call it the Pink Palace and it's no longer pink. The senior community right on the large building on Catella.
That is Park Place.
Park Place. It is not the Pink Palace, it's Park Place. We have held programming in Park Place to directly impact the seniors. So like I said, we're doing everything we can on the social media side right now. I personally feel that the best connectivity with the senior population is in person. And unfortunately that has been paused.
Definitely agree with that. Is it difficult to reach out to the senior population via social media? Definitely. There is, an unwillingness to sometimes kind of sign up for those type of things if it's not familiar to them. So we are trying to obviously use more of our web presence. And I know that we're kind of creating a connection with like the Orange County Public Library, and we're working with other agencies to assist in trying to extend our outreach to that community, especially with our food delivery programs. That's probably really the most effective thing that we're doing at the moment to reach out to that population, is during that contact when they're coming to pick up their meals, we're working with Meals on Wheels, the Second Harvest Food Bank, and something new, I guess it's like art and creativity, instead of, you know, are reaching out to just the children population. I know that they have most recently started to kind of touch base on our senior population with that, who have definitely partnered with us during this food distribution time. So to us, the key thing for us is our contact during serving our senior community via the pantry box pickups and individual served meals, if that helps cover any bases. But I mean, again, if you have some alternative ideas, please feel free to share. And we're open to anything, and we can bring it forth to our PIO committee.
I think where I probably want to start is to probably get a little bit better understanding of what exactly is the process. So let's say, you know, we're under the broad umbrella for talking about outreach to the city about public safety. What's the actual process, and how are we gauging, okay, we're going to do a post a week, two posts a month, you know, who's writing these and what is driving our messaging out to the public?
As Ms. Vasquez mentioned, our public information officer and that committee, there's members from each department on that and what they have been working on and the goals that they need to hit are related, like you said, to taking information from Orange County Fire Authority, taking information from the Sheriff's Department, and continuing to disseminate that to people. I think additionally, things that we have done in the past that have been placed on pause due to the current situation is, I mean, we've physically gone out to mobile home parks to do programming, talk on the block programs, those type of scenarios to get in front of them. I can provide for you in the future the types of goals in terms of what we're pushing out and how often we're pushing out something public safety related through our social media. I don't have it in front of me, but that is something where we are in consistent contact through the PIO committee to provide that information to the public.
Yeah, I think I'd be interested to see that type of information, because I think that's definitely going to be part of, at least in, if we're going to be kind of analyzing what we see that's being pushed out, to try and determine, you know, how effective we think it is, it would probably be helpful to know, okay, I see what the words are, but then to understand why was this put out? Is there a specific goal that we're trying to achieve with this set of messaging and frequency? Because I know this is a really difficult thing to try and assess how effective we're being, right? Because even if we're talking about engagement specifically on social media, what does it mean to get likes on a, you know, a release about some sort of public safety issue? That doesn't, it's not, it's hard to measure that, right? There are only certain metrics we get through our social media interactions, but trying to kind of understand the why, I think, is going to help us to try and make an assessment of, okay, how effective were we in conveying that message kind of from the start all the way through to the end?
You're exactly right. And you touched on one of the key issues is what's the measure? You know, take Fire Authority example. We say leading into the warmer months, that one of their big deals, they always do the drowning prevention campaign, and they do a very good job with it. We push all of that information out, but what's the measure? You know what I mean? Are we measuring instances of drowning, or are we measuring how many people received the information? So, you know, do we have to determine the criteria of what makes it successful, which I agree with. Obviously, you know, you can apply that logic to a lot of what we do, because on the information side, we're just trying to put thoughts in people's heads, you know, but it's hard to measure, you know, what would they have done if they did not receive this information, you know, so that part of it makes it tough. But we'll try and come up with some effective benchmarks that will help us, you know, help us take a look at that and to see if it's, you know, a valuable use of time. And, you know, obviously we feel that it is in terms of getting the information out there, but you're right on cue when you're saying that it is a difficult thing to measure.
And I agree. We get analytics like you had touched on, but are we posting based on likes? Or are we posting based on needs? And once that need is hit, is it dropped, or do we continue to post and kind of follow through and follow up on, you know, something like, let's say, housing needs? Do we just post it once and leave it, or do we follow up with updates, or you know, continuous posting to make sure that the information is out there? But I do understand what you're saying. We can touch base with the PIO committee and kind of see what their thoughts are of getting committee members, commissioners involved in the process as well, so that you can kind of get a visual and understanding of what they do behind the scenes. And so you can see what they're pushing out and kind of be able to ask them prior to them pushing it out, why are we doing this? What is this for? What's the follow through? And how are we eventually going to acknowledge this post as not just a post and leave? So if I'm understanding that correctly, hopefully we can talk to the city manager, talk to the PIO committee, and get you guys more involved in that kind of behind the scenes process prior to who, what, when, where, and why we're posting.
I think it would probably be beneficial, you know, not to overstep our bounds of, you know, what our authority is, but if nothing else, just to have an understanding of what that process and what that kind of that whole flow from start to finish looks like, you know. Because, and the other thing too is, especially, you know, once COVID is over, once we have, you know, a little bit more normal kind of everyday ebb and flow of things going on in the community, I suspect that we will be able to kind of go out and get, you know, more feedback. So, you know, for example, let's say if we're talking to members of the community, and if people say, you know, maybe they have a question of, well, if I see this, what should I do? Or I'm trying to call, or who do I call? Who do I talk to? And then, you know, some of those questions, if we start to see a pattern in the community, that might be a question back to this PIO group and say, okay, you know, this is what we're hearing. Have we addressed this in the past? Have we not? Has it been ineffective? You know, and then kind of boots on the ground. If we keep talking to people and we see a pattern, that's some amount of direct feedback. So we can say, okay, maybe we can start to measure, you know, at least in a limited capacity, maybe some of the effectiveness and the reach of this outreach.
Definitely. I hear you loud and clear. And it's a great and prime example. I do have some committee members here currently that are CGID that I've talked to. They've called and asked about programming and different things like that. And I was able to communicate that to the committee member. But it's definitely, I understand what you mean. And we'll definitely get on that and figure out something to bring before you guys.
I just have a quick question. Has the city ever thought about having a mobile app?
And what type of mobile app are we? Because we do have one for graffiti, trash, and I believe deceased animal pickup. What type of app were you kind of thinking of? It's
a mobile app for the city that will post information on there instead of going to the convoluted website that's often difficult to find information. So a mobile app that's a little more streamlined to get information.
I mean, it's a possibility. We have a very, luckily a lot of our apps are done in-house and created in-house, but just kind of an update here that I'm am hoping that it'll solve that app problem is that we are currently undergoing a complete website overhaul and design. And I think that includes ensuring that there's a mobile app version, mobile friendly app version. So that's something that's being worked on right now. It's currently in a design phase. And I'm hoping it'll be less convoluted and more mobile friendly. But right now I think the main focus is on redesigning the website so it's not so difficult. And I think that's something that we can possibly bring up once that is completed, is creating some type of app in addition to the website.
Okay, yeah, that'd be great.
Thank you. I
just have a question. Have we received any information on how our seniors can, I know there is information, but have the seniors received any information on how they can sign up to get the COVID vaccine and where they can do that?
Go ahead, Mr. Ren.
I can take that, and then we can kind of, if with, the clerk's permission here, it seems like we're combining 10A and 10B here. I can go ahead and answer that. So what we are looking at, and there is a mobile pod. Pod is point of dispensing. So there is a mobile pod that we have registered for through the county for the city of Stanton. The numbers on that are limited. How that will specifically play out is to be determined in the near future. I'm on another call tomorrow regarding that. We are in the process of trying to get Stanton approved as a site for the mobile pod to come out to us and provide vaccinations to the senior population. It is essentially for those that are involved in the senior program. It's not for public consumption at this time. Obviously, right. In a perfect world, there's as many doses as we need, and we try and get everybody dialed in. But it would be on a very limited basis. But there are arrangements being made to come to Stanton to address the senior population.
Okay. But
if I can ask, that information isn't terribly public. Obviously, it's out there, and people know that that this is part of the overall equation to address the issue. Unfortunately, there have been some cities where elected officials and others advertised it, and it essentially overwhelmed the mobile pod and made it ineffective. So figure out what I can tell you and can't tell you. We are in the process of establishing a date in the near future that we should be able to bring that service to the city.
Okay, and not only here in Stanton, but how to sign up at Disneyland, or what is the website that kind of information might be useful, although I know you have to stand in line for about 2 hours, but at least they would know where to go.
Correct. So there is the website through the county. I believe we have pushed out that information on all of our social media efforts. You hear varying results from those folks who have tried to sign people up.
It's very frustrating.
Correct. And that is the consensus. What I have heard is on site at the super pods that there has been improvements, and that the process now is actually once you're there goes well.
Right.
The issue has been on the sign up side.
Okay. I'm sorry, I don't mean to take up a lot of time. I just have one more question. Do you feel that there's any anybody in Stanton, any population that is really resistant to following or that don't know the guidelines of COVID or just refuse to follow them, or do we have hotspots in Stanton?
From the information that I get from County Health, it's essentially, it's similar across the county. Places where the populations are more dense, you're going to see more infections. I understand the question. We haven't seen anything that clearly articulates that this component of the population refuses to do anything and they all have been infected or anything like that. It's, sometimes it looks like there's no rhyme or reason to it, but from what I've studied, it's just based, I'd say the most effective analysis of it is that it's just based on density, just pure numbers.
Right. Okay.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions on item 10A?
I just have a quick question. I don't know if it's related to 10A, but I know the city was having the testing center kind of off of Beach Boulevard. Are we not doing that on Saturdays anymore?
Mr. Wren, I believe he's talking about the private property on Oracle Block, correct, Mr. Bates?
Yeah, that's where basically on Saturday morning around 9 o'clock, there'd be mm-hmm. a line forming where you can go in and get COVID testing.
Yes, so that is, I'd have to confirm with Director Wren, that was a private property, kind of private event happening on every Saturday. I'm not 100% sure if that has ceased because of the shift to vaccinations rather than testing. What do you think, Director Wren? Is that kind of what we think is happening with SoCa Disneyland? The shift from vaccines to testing is kind of slowed down those.
Correct, so there are still testing, for lack of a better terms, there's still kind of pop-up testing that's happening here and there from, you'll see different community groups or that will occur where there'll be testing sites. But there clearly has been a shift from testing to vaccination in terms of preparation, and everything being pushed out from the county is on the vaccination side. There is something that was, a testing pod that the city's involved in. I believe it'll be by the end of next week. There's something that may occur at and or near City Hall, but most of them are private at this time in terms of you'll see something on private property and a community group or what have you will provide that service. But there's definitely been a shift from testing to vaccination.
And I think a lot of it has to do with it's volunteer based, mixed with personnel, public safety personnel. So I think a lot of the shift is the need for volunteers for the vaccination process now. So those private entities who are doing testing might have lost a bulk of their volunteers to go help with the vaccination process.
Great, thanks for the info.
This is Doug here. I just had, I guess, one more comment to kind of close out this section. And I guess this is more to the other members of the committee that I think it's probably, given that, staff is going to work on trying to kind of work out how we can interface with the PIO committee, that we just kind of keep in mind, as we're seeing the stuff roll out on social media and these kind of, these outreach efforts by the city, that we can kind of look at it and try to have some good questions and kind of figure out what we want to kind of do with that access to that PIO committee if that should become available to us. I don't know if anybody else on the committee has anything else they want to add to that.
And that's a great note to make, Mr. McKino. Thank you.
I think that's a great idea.
And then same goes to our website as well. Just keep an eye out, kind of do your homework, your research, and see. Just make note of what you do like, what you don't like, what you wish to see more of, If you have any questions, and definitely please always feel free to email myself or Director Wren. We're always here for any questions, be it not meeting a meeting time. Like, you don't have to hold them all till this meeting. Shoot out a question to us and we're very responsive and we'll be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Yep, okay, thank you. That's all I got.
Perfect, thank you so much. So I will now go on to item 10B, which is discussion regarding the city's current outreach efforts to the city's senior population. Before I give this director, committee member Shaver, I would just kind of like to touch base, hopefully, on just some things that I had remembered that you had asked at the last meeting. I know that a flyer went out with the city manager's newsletter talking about serving our senior community, a 2020 in review. I hope you were all able to take a look at that, because seeing those numbers, it's a good number. If you haven't, we had served individuals, individual seniors had been served. We numbered that at over 10,000. Pantry boxes served to seniors was over 6,000. We also conducted wellness calls to about almost 4,000 seniors. And the whopping number of 41,000, over 41,000 grab and go meals were served to our senior population, as well as over 4,000 meals were delivered. And of course, that was a public-private partnership with a lot of like Second Harvest Food Bank, Meals on Wheels, Arts and Creativity, the Home Depot, the Stanton Community Foundation, of course, Mayor Shaver's office, and Senator Ling-Ling Chang's office. That's kind of just like an at glance of what was, how we outreached to our senior community in that way. Also, food distribution was talked, but we addressed that we are probably going to separate the food distribution instead of one day into two separate days, hopefully for shorter wait times for our seniors, so they're not waiting so long in line to get those foods. I noticed that if you have passed by City Hall on like a Tuesday, there's quite a long line that reaches past Western. There is a high demand for the food distribution. So that has been very popular and very successful, which we're happy with. We are also offering free counseling services. And I know that previously, Mrs. Shaver, you had asked about the reader boards. I don't know if you noticed that even though it has a little black outline on one side, we do have that reader board up and running.
And I did see that. I was happy to see that. Yes.
Well, we figured, you know what, one side works perfectly well and you kind of get the idea on the other side. But again, each of those tiles runs about $2,000 to replace. Checking our options right now. That sign is more than 10 years old. So we're thinking it'd probably be a little bit more cost conductive to replace the whole thing. But we have it up and running. So take a look at those slides. If you think that there's something else you want to add to those slides, please send me an email. We'll send it through and see if that's approved. And we try to mirror what we have on City Hall side at the Stanton Central Park side. So that reader board's up and running. And then also I'd like to lastly report on that item that we talked about the Orange County Public Library offering hotspots. So that process is now currently live. It's called, the Orange County Public Library is calling it the Internet Access Initiative. So they have already rolled out the program, which it offers Wi-Fi hotspots to public library branches. So the city of Stanton Public Library across from City Hall has 5 hotspots available. And you just have to have a valid library card. You can check it out for 3 weeks, and it is non-renewable, meaning that you can't have it for 3 weeks and renew it for another 3 weeks. It has to be returned, and then you can check out another one at a later time. But that's all that I have to report that I believe was just kind of taking notes on committee member Shaver's request from the last meeting. So I'd bring it back to Ms. Shaver. If you have anything else to add or any other questions, please feel free to do so.
No, I don't. I think everything was answered. And I really am happy to see that the board is up and the library program is up. And you guys are doing a great job. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Are there any other questions from committee members? Hearing none, let us move on to item 11, which is staff liaison comments. Mr. Wren, if it's okay, I'd just like to make one announcement from my my department. So I would just like to thank the committee members that are currently here tonight. I know that your terms have expired. However, we appreciate you still serving and continuing to do so until you're either reappointed or there's another appointment made. I know that the anticipation was to have the interviews on the 26th, but due to the large intake of applications, we had decided with council approval to kind of separate the interview process. So the public safety committee member interviews will be scheduled officially for March 9th. So that will happen at the March 9th city council meeting. So most likely beginning of February, I will draft up an email and I'll send out to all committee members detailing the date, the time, and how the process is going to go.
Great, thank you.
Thank you, and that's all I have, Director Wren.
And I have nothing to add. Thank you for your help, Ms. Vasquez. Are there any other comments before we wrap up?
This is Doug here. I don't know if maybe either you, Jim, or Patricia can answer if this is, I had some kind of more general questions for Captain Alday. I don't know if that's something that needs to be like agendized or we'd have to bump that to another meeting.
Why don't you go ahead and ask the question and I'll see if we are legally allowed to do so.
All right. We're a little bit behind the curve, Captain Alday, but on behalf of the committee, I'd like to welcome you to the city of Stanton, and we're glad to have you. We were fortunate to have a great job put in by Lieutenant Wilson during his time here. With that being said, I know everybody brings their own experience to the job, and you have a great breadth of experience and a lot of different stuff that you've done with the OCSD. Is there anything in particular when you're coming to the city that you are identifying that you want to focus on or put a particular effort into specific to Stanton and our unique set of problems or concerns?
So I think we're okay with that type of question as long as Mr. Captain Alday includes it in kind of his introduction of himself to the city, to the committee members. And I would leave it up to the comfort level of Captain Alday.
Okay, well, first and foremost, thank you for the introduction and the welcoming. I am absolutely ecstatic to be here. I know that I have big shoes to fill. I know the work that Captain Nate Wilson has put in. It's actually paid dividends and it's actually set me up for success because I'm following on what he's already set in motion. And like I said, it only benefits me to continue what he's already set in place. As far as my background, one of the things that I do have is, like I said, I come from the investigative background. I was able to be an investigator, both as an investigator, as an investigative sergeant. So one of the things that I identify is somewhere where we could actually improve on is that our investigative detail and investigative unit. As you know, the city in itself, it's a busy city. So generating a lot of cases, and if I could somehow help out the investigative detail in any way, that's one of the areas of concern that I like to focus on because it affects the Stanton residents. Maybe you won't see it or you don't see it, but it does affect because case volume coming in, there's only a limited amount of time that the investigators could spend on a case because they have an additional 10 or 15 cases coming on top of that. So if I could help augment the workload there, I think that'll help not only the residents, of course, but I do like what we are doing. Like I said, with the flock cameras has paid dividends with our investigative detail. We've been able to solve a lot of cases through that. And like we mentioned already, with the additional cameras that we're getting throughout the city, that's only gonna pay even more dividends down the road. So that's one of the areas, like I said, it's, I think I'm fortunate and to have Nate Wilson before me because he did an awesome job. And like I said, I do have great shoes to fill and I appreciate you guys welcoming me to the city.
Well, thank you. And then I've had this conversation with staff and, you know, as a committee, we want to make sure that, you know, we are being kind of useful and making a difference, right? Where we don't want to just be something here that's just a formality. So, you know, if something that comes across your mind at a committee level, if you say, hey, that'd be great if the public or the public safety committee could get involved, you know, we would like to hear it.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. I will take that into consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Captain. And if there are no other questions or from the committee, we will adjourn the meeting to the next regular scheduled meeting. Do we have anything else to add?
Can we agendize the sex offender registry for Stanton for the next meeting?
Sure. Okay. And you said registry, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
For those. Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks.
No problem. Anything else from committee members? Hearing none, I will adjourn the meeting at 7:05 p.m. Thank you again so much for your time. We truly, truly appreciate you being here this evening.
Thank you. Thank you. Goodbye.